welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details, or contact us at pr@speakuptalkradio.com. And right now, we are going to go California dreaming with our guest author, Cheryl Ann Stapp. Cheryl writes nonfiction California history. Her most recent book, Before the Gold Rush, The Sinclairs of Rancho Del Paso, 1840 to 1849, is a biography of a pioneer couple who lived in the Sacramento Valley during a turbulent decade. A native Californian, Cheryl is a voracious reader who has scribbled stories since childhood. While living in Los Angeles, where she graduated from California State University Northridge, she was a contributing editor to Working World, a regional magazine, publishing 52 articles over a five-year period. Then, she chanced upon Joseph Henry Jackson's Anybody's Gold, a witty, vibrant tale of the California Gold Rush, and she became hooked on California's pioneer past. In 2000, she moved back home to Sacramento, a city that once swarmed with tens of thousands of gold-fevered fortune seekers. And today, Cheryl is a regular speaker at historical societies, teachers' groups, book clubs, and fraternal organizations. She is active in the California Writers Club and is a volunteer docent at Sutter's Fort State Historic Park. And her blog, California's Olden Golden Days, is devoted to personalities and events in the Golden State's rich history. And you can visit her website, CherylAnnStapp.com. And I know I'm quite interested to learn more, so let's get going. Welcome to the network, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here. Lots of interest in California and the history. And as I studied you and your books and your website, I came to the conclusion that you are somewhat of a gold miner yourself, as you mine for untold stories and facts and create these amazing nuggets, these books filled with rich history. So congratulations for the work that you do.
Thank you. Yes, it is. It's quite a research project for every book that I've written. Certainly takes a lot of time, but you know, it's really a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine the people that you're meeting and the sights that you're seeing. I mean, it's kind of a twofold project, fun and very rewarding to get this information out. And you say on your website, personally, I came late to an appreciation of history. And you blame this on your girlish lack of interest on school history classes, where you were given too many dry, disjointed dates and to memorize instead of learning more about the people who made history. And I really can agree with that. It took me decades after college to become interested in history, and I'm kind of sorry I wasn't smarter sooner. So,
me too.
Yeah, you know, and I agree with you. The history is just so rote, and you're spitting out dates, and who really has a feeling for what went on? So, we need more of your books in school. What then was the catalyst, if there was one, that caused you to write about California history?
I was living in Los Angeles at the time, and I was a contributing editor to a regional magazine called Working World. I published 52 articles with them, but you know, about business from the employees, you know, standpoint. And they were short. They were like 800 to 1,200 words, naturally, you know, nonfiction. But while I was, you know, doing this, I did this for 5 years before I moved back to Sacramento. I just happened to chance upon that book you mentioned, Anybody's Gold, and I read it avidly, and it just brought up all of the, you know, history, the knowledge, although I didn't have much at the time, because I lived in that, you know, I lived in Sacramento, I grew up in Sacramento, which was a major gold rush town in its heyday, and I started thinking, why didn't I pay more attention to this when I was living there and going to school? Mm-hmm. So that was a catalyst, and based on that book, I started writing a historical romance, okay? I got, several chapters down, but, you know, I can't plot. I just, It's just not one of my talents. And then I realized in doing the research for, you know, for the background, that I had far more history in this romance than romance, mm-hmm. which should have told me something, but it kind of didn't, you know, at the time. And I moved, you know, like I say, moved back to Sacramento in 2000 when I married. And a couple years in, my new bridegroom said, you know, you're not doing any writing. You need to get back into that. You know, that's, you know, something that was important to you. And so, you know, I joined the local chapter of the California Writers Club. I had belonged to another chapter in L.A. And I don't know, it kind of went from there, but I was kind of floundering around, you know, looking for a topic that I could kind of immerse myself in. And we came back from a trip to Australia in 2009. And by this time, I guess I was just, you know, ready. I wanted a big project that I could really sink my teeth into. By this time, there's not only, you know, the Jackson book, Anybody's Gold, but I had read Joanne Levy's They Saw the Elephant about pioneer women in the Gold Rush era. So I looked around and saw that there was no history of the women who settled in Sacramento, which is my birthplace, and that's what started it off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that story. It's first of all, it's so nice that you have a spouse, you know, someone that cares about you and your writing to encourage you to do that. I think that's huge.
And he does.
Yeah, isn't that nice to have some
fan.
Yeah, have somebody on your side. And secondly, I'm always so impressed when people see and find a void, especially when it comes to literature or history, and then pick up the ball and say, well, I don't see much on that, let me do it. And that's what you did with your first book, Disaster and Triumph, Sacramento Women, Gold Rush Through the Civil War, which you self-published, and it was a finalist in historical nonfiction in the 2013 Next Generation Indie Book Awards. I mean, how cool is that? Tell us about that.
The book itself took me 2.5 years to research and write. I started out with preconceived notions that turned out not to be true. I originally planned to, I mean, I always planned to write, you know, separate biographies of the women I found, but I thought I would find a lot more from that period. And my initial plan was to write about these women as they, you know, I mean, as Sacramento, of course, you know, built and grew and their role in that kind of thing. But I thought I would find 10. Well, I was lucky to find 6 that there was enough information about to justify their own chapter, because I think, as everyone knows, that period of time, history are men's stories, okay? Mm-hmm. And I had even trouble finding, you know, I mean, I started looking at some of the men I knew were here thinking, oh, well, I'll find their wives, you know, and write about them. Didn't happen. And then I had to expand. I mean, the reason the title was so expansive, I'd wanted to only concentrate on the 1850s, okay, and not really go up all the way to the Civil War, except that the women I found who lived in Sacramento, who made contributions in Sacramento, they lived longer than that, so I couldn't exactly, you know, cut off their life in midstream. So I wrote about these women so long as they actually lived here in Sacramento, and then kind of a condensed few paragraphs if they moved away at a certain point. So I had written that book, and it was finished finally when, because of my involvement with the Writers Club, I received the email that went around from our librarian. We had been contacted by a acquisitions editor who at the time was working for the History Press, okay? And this woman was looking for people who wanted to write articles about their home region, as it were. Okay, so I responded to her email, told her that I had this book written, and I sent her a few, you know, preview chapters, and she was interested. But this book is like way too long. I mean, it's like 270,000+ words, and they only publish or prefer, you know, to publish things that are around 40,000, 45,000words. So she said, well, you know, you could cut it down. And I thought, no, you know, it's done. She said, or you could submit a proposal for another book to the History Press. So that's what I did. I submitted a proposal for my second book, which was the history of Sacramento. This is Sacramento Chronicles, The Golden Past. They accepted that, gave me a contract. So now I'm on the road to, you know, writing that. But in the meantime, since they were, I had also submitted Disaster and Triumph elsewhere, and this publisher was very complimentary, but you know, they passed. So I went ahead and self-published the book, and while during the time I'm actually writing the second book, and submitted it to the Next Generation Indie Book Awards. And after that first book, History Press also was interested in getting a second proposal from me, and my lovely, I was kind of, you know, looking around for another topic, and my lovely husband, who, you know, how men, they love cars, he loves cars, he goes, write about the Stagecoach, I mean, because it was a vehicle. And so I started researching that, and that was really a lot of fun. That book was a lot of fun to research. So that title is, again, another long one, The Stagecoach in Northern California, Rough Rides, Gold Camps, and Daring Drivers. And the reason, I guess, part of the reason it's so long is that the History Press prefers its titles to say, you know, what the content, you know, to indicate what the content of the book are.
Well, especially with this kind of a topic, it's not like it's a romance and then they kissed or whatever, and then you can figure out what it's about. And I think it's great because now you want to read it. Rough Rides, Gold Camps, and Daring Drivers. That's just an exciting title.
Yeah, I like it.
Me too. So that was your third book. Did your husband like that book?
Oh, yes. And he has gone with me to various, during my research process for that book, he went with me to various sites, and we met some very interesting people. One lady is living today on a property that used to be a stage stop. She very graciously, you know, invited us into her property to look around. I mean, just, you know, things like that. And he does also accompany, actually I should say he drives me, to speaking venues out of town. So he's very much a part, you know, of the whole process.
Oh, I love that. He's your stagecoach driver.
Yes.
So your latest book then is called Before the Gold Rush, The Sinclairs of Rancho de Paso, 1840 to 1849. Tell us a bit about that.
Meanwhile, right around the time I was finishing that first book, I volunteered as a docent at Sutter's Fort State Historic Park. The fort is a reconstruction of the trading post, actually, built by California's most famous pioneer, John Sutter. And because it was there, located where it was, in the wilderness, naturally, there was no city at the time, the fort was a mecca for overland travelers because they're coming over the Sierra. That's the first vestige of civilization they found, and it was a place where they could trade in their exhausted teams and buy supplies, I mean, and so on. So it was a destination point. So once I was a docent there at Sutter's Fort, I mean, they teach you, of course, in your docent classes, you know, more about Sutter and his neighbors and so on. And I discovered along the way that his closest neighbor, who was only 2 miles away, was a man named John Sinclair. And when I found out he was married, I went, ooh, who's that? Where did she come from? How did they meet? You know, and so on. So that's how that one started. I really didn't expect that there would be enough information about the two of them to produce, you know, a whole book. I thought, well, maybe I'll do, you know, a magazine article or something like that. And it took me another 2 years to do that because I had, you know, other obligations. I did other research at Sutter's Ford, and that kind of cut into the time. And I had certain problems, you know, finding certain information that I finally was able to get, and therefore, you know, I could finish my narrative. So that's how that came about. And I'm interested in pioneer women of this period because I think we need to hear their stories so that they're known and remembered for the contributions that they actually made in developing the West Coast regions of America. I mean, not just California, but Oregon, okay? A lot of immigration to Oregon in the same years. And also, sometimes these women are stereotyped. They're portrayed or thought of as maybe less than, okay? They're Eastern sisters because, you know, while this immigration, major immigration is going on in the 1840s, the East had all these wonderful amenities that the West just didn't have. So, but the truth is, these women wanted the same things we do as women, as mothers. They had skills that we no longer need to learn. We have skills that, had they known about them, they probably would have thought of as belonging to some other planet. But I think that readers can identify with their struggles. Their issues were different from ours, but their struggles all the same. So, and they were strong women, most of them. What they were involved in once they got here was actually establishing for the first time schools and churches and libraries and societies to benefit the sick and destitute and so on. I mean, they were women just like us.
I found it very interesting on your website how you were saying that women were scarce in California in the 1850s, and you just mentioned how they were thought less of, perhaps. And if you really think about it for a second, wow, you would not think less of them, but rather more, because while the male counterparts were out mining, who was back home making the money?
The women.
Yeah.
So I didn't mean that they were less thought of in that period. Today,
right.
Today, people looking at the pioneer era go, oh, well, you know, those are just a bunch of calico-clad, you know, people. At the time, though, because of the gold rush, because the immigration that preceded it had always had more men coming, you know, to the West than women, women became very scarce. That first federal census in 1850 showed that women were only 8% of the population.
Oh, my.
Statewide.
Wow.
So, therefore, they became very valuable.
Yes.
Okay? And this was, for women who lived in California, changed everything for them because they were scarce, because they were more valuable. They were listened to. Their needs and wants were paid more attention to than would have happened in other places. So it was a much better environment for women here in California, and it's kind of the basis for, you know, what happened in future decades. I mean, California was the sixth state to give women the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
This is, of course, before the 19th Amendment passed. And it's their legacy. You know, their legacy to us is the hard work they did, the way that they were admired by men, okay, for taking it upon themselves to support their children. These are, of course, the wives of gold miners, who they baked pies, they took in laundry and washing, they ran boarding houses, and they did it without a male partner, for the most part. And this earned them respect.
Yes, yes. Very entrepreneurial.
Very, very, very. I mean, the first California Constitution was written before statehood, actually, was written in 1849. And the delegates put in that Constitution that women, and this was a scandalous thing at the time in America, women had the right to own property separate from their husband. Mm-hmm. This wasn't happening in very many states of the Union.
Very interesting, and I like it that you were then able to write these books from a woman's point of view.
I mean, we don't know what they thought, really. We don't know how they felt, because they didn't leave diaries, but we can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
how it was for them.
Sure.
I mean, Sacramento had a great many, California all over, really, but Sacramento specifically had a great many catastrophes in the early years. Big fires, floods, cholera killed, in 1850, cholera killed up to 1,000 people. And there's only maybe 4,000 living here at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things they went through, and they persevered.
So interesting. Just think of the people running around California, not even giving these pioneer women a second thought.
I know. That's why, that's why I think that we need to hear their stories.
Mm-hmm. And what's next then? We've got these four books. Are you still sticking with the California theme?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, all I know about.
That's your genre, right?
That's my genre. Mm-hmm. And the few things I know about, other places, other, territories and states, are those things that happened that ultimately impacted
mm-hmm.
California.
Right.
So what I have completed now, I need to finish, editing and all of that kind of thing that goes on. Always those little things, not so little, but those things that come along before, before a manuscript actually gets into book form.
Right, right. And have you self-published all of them?
No. I self-published Disaster and Triumph, the reasons we already talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And I did self-publish my most recent book. Probably will self-publish the one, The History of Sutter's Horror. I'm not sure about that yet. But the other two, Sacramento Chronicles, The Golden Past, and The Stagecoach in Northern California, those were published by the History Press, a conventional publisher.
Okay. All right. And as you were talking about the California Writers Club, how you got that email and that's how you knew to submit your manuscript, tell us about the California Writers Club. I think it's just important that especially authors get out there and join these kind of clubs so that they can open themselves up to the opportunities as you did.
Oh, well, absolutely. And besides that, it's a fellowship, of people who like to write. The California Writers Club now has, I don't remember, something like 21 different chapters throughout the state.
Mm-hmm.
They were formed in the turn of the 20th century in San Francisco and grew from there. And we meet monthly, the Sacramento chapter anyway, meets monthly. There's a luncheon and we have a speaker and who hopefully is giving, information that's useful to the people attending. And, of course, then we can network with each other and find out things that maybe we weren't aware of. I mean, things like, sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a book out there, you have to register with a state agency and report sales tax on those sales.
Right.
Other things having to do with publicity or marketing or that kind of thing. I mean, other people have information and they're glad to share it. So yes, any writers here in Sacramento, whether you've published or not, you're very welcome to join.
I think it's a great idea. As you said, there's no need to reinvent the wheel, especially when it comes to learning about these, the tips and tricks involved in publishing. And you mentioned promoting. Do you have any advice, perhaps, for any authors listening as far as what you consider your best your best promotional advice?
In my case, because I'm writing history, I have, interest from historical groups. So I do a fair amount of speaking at these historical societies. I do, teachers' groups, book clubs, fraternal organizations. I mean, this last Saturday, I spoke to the local chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution, and I was talking about pioneer women. I've also, of course, given presentations about the Stagecoach. I have in the past taught a class at the local learning annex, where classes are really a one-night, two-hour seminar type thing. And I have my blog, which is my primary vehicle right now for publicity, and all blogs have a contact me button, and this is through the blog that I have gotten have been contacted by various clubs and asked to be their speaker. So
mm-hmm.
So for me it's worked out fine, and it also the blog is really an it's an educational tool. I mean, it's a promotional tool, but it's an educational tool because each of my posts, short, hopefully, not more than a couple of paragraphs, is about the history of 19th century California.
So you're really in a niche.
Really in a niche.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is good.
It is good. It is good.
Well, let me just add one more promotional thought here. If you have a niche, you can concentrate on not only the writing, but when it comes to publicity, you're not having to interest people from all different kinds of interest groups, I should say,
mm-hmm.
because people who write a romance, okay, have a certain, they have a market, okay? People who write mysteries have another market. Children's books, you know, and so on. There are writers, of course, who just kind of write all over across the board, and I have to wonder how they keep track of how to direct their, you know, publicity, their marketing efforts.
Right.
I think it's so much easier if you have a niche.
No.
Because you get known in certain circles. And from there you get, you know, referrals and so on and so forth without diluting your efforts.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that. You know, people always say identify your market or identify your audience, and they'll say, who's your audience? Well, everyone. Well,
yeah, but
not really.
Pretty much everyone. I mean, my books are suitable for, let's say, high school age,
mm-hmm.
and up. Those younger readers, you know, might find them interesting, although much younger readers, I think, wouldn't have the background,
sure.
The educational background,
mm-hmm.
to understand, really, you know, what was some of the events, you know, that are being talked about.
Exactly. Well, I agree with you. The idea of having a niche and going after that is a smart idea, as well as getting out there and joining your local author guild or author group makes a lot of sense. Well, we covered quite a bit today, but is there anything that we missed that you would like to talk about?
I might just say that I write nonfiction because I find the truth is more interesting
mm-hmm.
than writing historical fiction. I am on Twitter. Can't give you the URL right at the moment.
Mm.
I'm also on Facebook. I don't do a lot with Facebook, really. And like I say, my primary focus is on the blog itself.
All right. Yeah, where can folks go then to find the blog, and where can they purchase your books?
They can purchase them. They're all available on Amazon. Certain of these titles are available at other Sacramento retailers.
All right. And your website is CherylAnnStapp.com. That's CherylAnnStapp. CherylAnnStapp.com. Well, this has been a great afternoon talking with you about California. Any final words of advice or anything that you want to end with?
Can't think of a thing, Pat. I think we've covered it. We did good.
Well, this was a great opportunity for our listeners to get a little bit of California history, especially from the women's perspective. And I hope that everyone heads over to CherylAnnStapp.com. Cheryl, thank you so much for today. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Pat. I enjoyed it.